Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we are back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Contagion, it's the number one box office hit now in theaters, making us once again consider the scary potential of a deadly pandemic sweeping across the globe. But what's the reality of this kind of disaster occurring, and what kinds of reactions would we likely see from the government and from those around us? To talk about that, I'm joined by Dr. Eden Wells. She's a clinical assistant professor of epidemiology and associate director of preventative medicine residency at the University of Michigan's School of Public Health. Dr. Wells has spent years studying disaster and outbreak preparedness. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you very much, Michael.
Now, what's the real potential of a serious pandemic that could kill hundreds of millions breaking out in the U.S. and the world? Could such a thing really occur?
You know, I think that one of the things about contagion that really they got right is that the possibility of a pandemic from any particular cause, whether it be a virus or other infectious disease, I think it's a matter of not if it will occur, but simply when. I think that these pandemics do occur on fairly sporadic basis over several, certainly with influenza, several times a century.
And could we really see something, a pandemic spread across the globe where hundreds of millions die, or would it likely be quickly restricted to a certain region of the planet?
You know, I think it's very different depending upon the infection. We have certainly seen, for instance, with the 1918 Spanish flu, that the influenza pandemic spread across the globe within about a good 30 days. It can be very, very quickly, and that's one of the assumptions that we work under when we plan for an infectious disease pandemic.
You know, in the movies, we see government officials reacting to a pandemic situation in all kinds of horrible ways and making moves to quickly control the population in a less than humanitarian way. How realistic is this kind of response by the government?
Well, I think that first off, to control any pandemic is an extremely complicated endeavor by any government. I would say that even by the measures that we use or the procedures that we plan for to control a pandemic, very often the government will need to do things that will limit people's freedom. And while the agencies such as Centers for Disease Control or your state or local public health departments don't want to do these measures willy-nilly, sometimes that will have to be instituted in order to stop the spread of disease.
How prepared, from what you know, is the U.S. government to immediately react to a pandemic? And what would the initial steps involve?
I think the very first thing for any government, and I think that we are certainly now better prepared here in the last few years than we've ever been, is the early detection. If you can detect very early that initial patient, just like the patient zero in the movie Contagion, and you can catch them before many people are infected, then the chances are that you're likely to contain that spread of infection to a localized area, similar to what the movie had shown. But I think that the level of preparedness, even when we look at the recent pandemic of H1N1, we know as government agencies that we work with and our experiences show that we're not all there yet. There's still a lot of areas of improvement, especially with the ability to address mass care, to address people's fears quickly, and to get treatments, whether it be medications or vaccine, into people quickly.
I'm talking to Dr. Eden Wells, a clinical assistant professor of epidemiology and associate director of preventive medicine residency at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. So, Dr. Wells, if an incurable virus begins to spread, couldn't it take months or even years before scientists would be able to find an effective vaccine to treat it?
That's exactly right, and that's part of the concerns that we always have, is in that early time, if we can detect this early, we have measures that we can institute that that would be helpful, even though a vaccine may or may not be developed. For influenza, the vaccine can take as long as 6 months to actually develop, as it did with our recent H1N1 pandemic. So what are the things that public health does and has always done, even successfully in some parts, even in the 1918 pandemic? You know, again, some of those actions of government which say, you know, you shall be quarantined. If you have been exposed, please don't go to work. You know, stay home. If you are infected, you are to stay home and perhaps take this medication or that medication. These are the measures, you know, even simple things that we're really encouraging so much for people to do, to wash your hands and avoid the spread of the virus. Because when there's not a vaccine available, we have to go to the practical common sense measures that will limit the spread of disease.
I know in the movie Contagion, it's an accidental animal virus that causes the outbreak. Mm-hmm. What is most likely the source of a real outbreak? Is it this kind of a random situation, or is it more likely to be a biological attack of some sort?
Very interesting. I would say it's an excellent question. And unfortunately, in public health, we have to prepare for all of those scenarios. We have to prepare for the possibility as influenza, which provide, you know, actually influenza gives us a worldwide pandemic every 3 to 4 times a century. But then you could have something like SARS, which developed out of, jumped from the animal kingdom into the human race without any forewarning, and then spread very rapidly, but then disappeared for no obvious reasons that we know of. And then we have the threat always of those perhaps immoral individuals, scientists who are mutating these viruses in laboratories, let's say, and using them to develop biologic weapons. And unfortunately, in public health, we have to be aware that any one of those ways could lead to an emerging infectious disease threat that we have to respond to.
So there are laboratories on the planet right now where they have viruses that would be completely untreatable and could potentially kill millions of people if they were to be somehow released?
I would hope not. There are certainly several, very few, for instance, in the United States, the Centers for Disease Control is one, for instance, that has the ability to store smallpox, and only one of two places in the world that we know of legally to store smallpox. As to other works with viruses, that is an area of a science in which those people who do work with viruses and genetics of viruses have to work under a lot of rules and regulations to control any development. So I would be, I don't think that I have the fear that many of these viruses are sitting in multiple labs, but I would say that there's certainly science going on in which the scientists who work with viruses must be extremely careful and follow the laws to keep viruses from spreading outside their labs.
I see. And when it comes to individuals, is there anything that can really be done to prepare for this potential outcome, or is an outbreak simply too overwhelming and all we can really do is pray?
You know, I saw a recent interview with Matt Damon, one of the actors from Contagion, and someone asked him what he learned, and I thought it was very insightful. I think sometimes it's easy to feel overwhelmed when we hear about an outbreak or a disease that's spreading rapidly and to feel that one has no control. But to be able to take a breath and realize that there are very simple things that one can do to protect oneself and one's family, being familiar with what your local public health agency has to offer in terms of emergency preparedness and health education, especially with infectious diseases, those simple things of learning how to not expose oneself, to wash your hands before if they're contaminated, to not be around someone who is ill, to not expose someone else when you're ill. All those very simple measures can really arm one with some confidence, even when it's a scary infectious disease.
Dr. Eden Wells, a clinical assistant professor of epidemiology and an associate director of preventive medicine residency at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
And we'll